Well, we're going to take a few moments in God's Word and actually look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and then we'll sing a few more songs and hear a few more scriptures about the Christmas story. I just want to say, too, as I get started, I plan to share this Christmas devotional for about 10 minutes or so. And, you know, we have two-year-olds, and kids make noise. So I hope that we hear some noise because we're glad the kids are here. So parents, just rest at ease and enjoy this next 10 minutes, no matter how much noise your kids make. Well, Christmas Day 2007 was unlike any Christmas Day before or since for my wife, Melanie, and I. We slept in. We kind of had a slow morning, and that was on purpose. It was pretty laid back because that evening we went to the hospital, and the next day, December 26th, our son, first son, Tobias, was born. Well, I couldn't contain myself after Tobias was born. I was on the phone with my family a bunch. I was taking pictures. I had a flip phone, but I was still texting all my friends, making sure that they could see this baby that I was sure was the cutest baby that had ever been born. And for days, I was kind of in this state of joyful shock, you know, that we went from two people to three, and they actually let us out of the hospital to care for this little human being. But it was just so exciting. And just imagine for a minute, as we've heard the scriptures read tonight about Jesus' birth, just imagine for a moment how excited God the Father would have been that his son was now coming to earth at just the right time. He had been waiting since the foundation of the world to send his son at the right time. And God could hardly wait for his glory to be revealed in his son, Jesus Christ. And he did it in a way none of us would have expected. For a few minutes, I just want us to focus on how he revealed his glory to a group of unsuspecting shepherds. I want you to just think for a minute how the anticipation must have been in heaven before those angels, the first angel and then the army of angels, appeared to the shepherds as God's greatest gift, the Savior, to meet their greatest need, salvation, was revealed to these shepherds. I'm just imagining the look of amazement and then joy on their faces and how God really must have enjoyed that, bringing this message to exactly the people that he wanted to send that message to. As we get ready to hear just a few more scripture passages in a few moments and tell the story of Jesus' birth and sing a few more songs, as we go about our Christmas celebrations, as we leave here this evening, I just want to leave three simple truths in your hearts, in your minds, from Luke 2, 8 through 11. That's right behind me on the screen there. Glory, fear, and grace. The first thing we see is glory. In Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." I think maybe because of paintings of angels that kind of make angels look like babies many times, or maybe because we use angels as decorations and all of that, whenever we think of an angel, we don't normally think of people falling down. But it's interesting, whenever we see an angel appearing to somebody with God's glory, that's exactly what we see, is people falling down. Now, certainly there are times that angels appear to people in the Bible in disguise, as a human. But when they appear and show God's glory, people fall down. And angels are often portrayed in the Bible as great warriors. And here in Luke 2, when it says in a minute that the multitude of the heavenly host appeared praising God, the idea really is that there was an army of angels that were ready to do battle against Satan. They were ready to do spiritual battle and bring salvation. Let's think just for a minute about another time that we see the glory of the Lord shining in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 6, God's glory is revealed to the prophet Isaiah. And what is his reaction? It's, "Woe is me," because he's seen God's glory, but he also knows that he's a sinful person. It's one of the first things that he says. Think of it this way. God's glory is beautiful, but it's also scary at times in some ways. When God's glory appears to people, here's the thing. It not only shows them how great God is, it also shows them how sinful they are. It's kind of like if you're out on a date and you get a stain, you know, on your shirt from some food falling off your fork, but your date doesn't notice it. And then, you know, you're going somewhere and she wants to get a picture of you, and all you can think about is the stain on your shirt. You're trying to figure out how to cover it up. You're not even thinking about your date anymore. Well, that brings us to fear. So we've seen glory with these angels bringing glory, but then we see the fear that came because of that. Look at verse 9, or you can just listen, actually. I'm used to saying look at verse 9 on Sunday morning. It says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, surely, if you were a shepherd out in a field at night, and suddenly a giant shining angel in God's glory appears to you, the glory of the Lord shining around you, your sheep are running off buying. I imagine them covering up their eyes, the sheep are covering up their eyes with their hooves, you would be filled with fear too. But remember, the fear is not only because of the angel, not only because of the light of God's glory, but the fear is also because they realize that it's the glory of the Lord. Maybe what went through their minds in that split second is maybe they remembered Moses. And they remembered when Moses told God he wanted to see his glory, and God said, well, I'm going to give you a glimpse of my glory, but you can't see too much because it would kill you. And so they're scared. There's fear. In fact, it says great fear. Do you want to ask you? You can hear that at the end of verse 9. They were filled with great fear. Well, I just want to ask you tonight, before we come back to that thought, tonight, I wonder what kinds of fears you're bringing tonight into your Christmas celebration, tonight and tomorrow. What kinds of fears are you thinking about? Do you wonder about the year ahead? Do you have a bad health diagnosis, maybe? Do you have financial fears or fears of parenting or maybe fears of what the rest of high school or middle school is going to be like? Kids, I know that you have fears too. I remember having lots of different fears when I was a kid. Well, I want us to remember tonight that the main message about Jesus in the Bible is called the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And part of the good news about Jesus is that we don't need to fear anymore. That's what the angel says next. So in other words, we don't need to be afraid of God as we see with the shepherds, because Jesus has come as the Savior. So we don't have to be afraid of our sins separating us from God anymore, or even of death if we're trusting in Jesus, because we know that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead so that we can have forgiveness of sins now and heaven in the future. And think about it, that gives us great peace today, because if you know that your greatest need is covered, that your greatest need, which is a relationship with the God who created you, if you know that's taken care of because he sent Jesus to die for your sins, and Jesus rose from the dead, and you believe those promises, that means that you are saved, that you're forgiven, and that you're going to heaven, and that takes care of so many other fears, because you just know that you have God on your side, literally. You know that God is for you, and that God is with you as you go through life, whatever it holds. So we've seen glory, we've seen fear, and let's wrap up with grace. Verse 10, it says, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Grace means an undeserved gift. And here we see that gift. We see grace here in what the angel tells the shepherds. He says, fear not. And why do they not need to be afraid? Because the good news about the birth of Jesus meant great joy for all people. See, the message of Christmas is that God has come near to us in Jesus, the God-man. The fact that Jesus came in humility with a manger as his first bed tells us that Jesus entered into our suffering world to identify with us and to understand us. Tonight, I just want you to think for a minute, if you don't feel that you're worthy of coming near to God, if God's glory brings fear for you, you might be right if you don't know Jesus yet. The shepherds were right to fear God's glory. God's glory shows our sin, which separates us from God. But the good news part of the gospel, the good news part of Jesus coming, is that Jesus came to make us right with God. See, that's the free offer. That's the grace part of the gospel, is that if we will believe in Jesus alone to forgive us our sins, he says that we will be saved. It's interesting when you think about who Jesus came to that night, not only a young, poor couple, but also you think about the shepherds, God announcing this to the shepherds. They were not looked well upon in that culture. They were not even allowed to testify in court because they weren't considered trustworthy. They were not allowed to enter the temple area for worship because shepherds were considered unclean, but God came to them in the birth announcement of his son. And maybe God has met you tonight in the acting out by the kids of the Christmas story, as you've heard the scriptures read, the Bible read about the Christmas story, as you've heard it maybe in a fresh way through the songs that we've sung. And we're here to talk with you more tonight. Myself, I'm available, Pastor Andrew, others are always available to talk with you about this free gift, this offer of salvation that Jesus gives. But also on the welcome table, if you need to think about this more, on the welcome table as you leave, it's on your left. There's going to be cookies there, but as you grab a cookie, I would invite you to take a little white book if you'd like to know more about knowing Jesus as your Savior. It's called The Real Christmas, and it's going to explain more so that you can understand more about knowing Jesus as your Savior and being made right with God through Jesus, through the gift that he offers. The story of the angel appearing to the shepherds to announce Jesus' birth reminds us of glory, fear, and grace. So I want to just encourage us as we sing these last two songs, as we hear these last two scriptures read, let's worship Jesus as we wrap up our Christmas celebration at church and as we go home to continue to remember that Jesus has come to bring us near to God and he's returning again. Let me pray. God, we thank you again for the gift of Jesus. He truly is the greatest gift that we could ever receive because of what he did. And it's incredible, not only because of what he did on the cross and his resurrection, but also just even in the way that he came, he entered into our suffering world and he lived a perfect life for us that we could never live and then paid that penalty for our sins that we could never pay. So we just worship you tonight as we sing these last two songs. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to us, for being Emmanuel, God with us. You are worthy of all worship, and so we sing to you as we close in just a moment as we hear the scriptures read and then respond in singing in Jesus' name. Amen.